Is this a prognostication?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We check the broader economy this morning as stocks get to trading for the day. We call it the morning open. Private sector jobs down again. The Fed wraps up its two-day session. And when it rains, it pours. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The S&P up about 2/3%, the NASDAQ up about 0.25%, and the Dow up about 60 points at 98.31. Markets in Europe continue to climb 1-2% today, and Asian shares closed higher. The Hang Seng tacked on more than 1.5%. Japan's Nikkei was up slightly as well. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She joins us live this morning from Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So we got this payroll survey from ADP today. The private sector lost 203,000 jobs in the month of October. Is this an indicator of what we're going to see in Friday's big unemployment report?
Well, it's not exact, but it is the general sense is that the pace of layoffs is abating, and that's the good news. The bad news is we're still not generating jobs yet, and the unemployment rate is still rising.
I mean, how many times have we talked about the pace is slowing and abating and all that? I mean, this is month after month, right?
Well, it's been going on since about June or so. We had deteriorating labor market conditions that were getting worse and worse more rapidly right up through the second quarter, and then now things look like they're not getting as bad as fast. But for the average person on the street, they really don't care about second derivatives.
Yeah. The Federal Reserve interest rate policy, they do care about interest rates, though, Diane, and the committee wraps up its meeting this afternoon. We've been talking about the fact that the Fed won't raise rates, but what about the future? Are they looking at it?
The Fed is not going to be raising rates anytime soon. The Fed is really concerned about keeping the economy, filling that gap that consumers in particular are feeling in terms of tight credit conditions to keep things going in this weak labor market backdrop. So until we see that unemployment rate come down, don't look for the Fed to be doing anything but continuing to add as much money as they can.
All right. Diane Swonk from Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, thanks.
Thank you.
General Motors said today it'll keep Opel, its European brand, pouring a little money into it and trying to make a profit there. Now, that matters to U.S. taxpayers since we own a big chunk of GM now, and it matters to about 50,000 Europeans who work for Opel in Germany and all over the continent. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the latest. He joins us live this morning. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
Big reversal for GM, eh? We've been reporting for months about Belgian and Canadian and Russian investors all trying to buy Opel.
Right, and now none of them get it. You know, it made sense for GM to try and sell Opel when it was at rock bottom. You know, the company did not need another money-losing European operation. In addition, one that has about 1 million political strings attached in all these countries where governments and unions are trying to protect jobs. But now things are a little different. GM's in better shape. Its new board is saying, let's not hand over our technology to Russians or Europeans. Let's go compete over there instead. I asked David Bailey about this. He's at Coventry University's business school.
What we are seeing is a leaner, fitter GM emerging from Chapter 11 in a better financial condition, now thinking, actually, this is of strategic importance to us. We can afford to hang on to it, and we can afford to restructure it. And in particular, it needs the small, fuel-efficient vehicles that GM Europe produces.
But not all of the Europeans are happy, right?
No, definitely not. First of all, they're worried that GM's going to slash jobs. Magna would have also slashed jobs, but we have this reputation for cutthroat capitalism. So this morning in Europe, you're hearing anger from the German government, which put up some money to help Opel, and German unions, which offered labor concessions, even from Vladimir Putin in Russia, who insists that GM in America doesn't even control GM Europe anymore, and the original deal should go through.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
U.S. mortgage applications rose for the first time in a month. That reflects higher demand for home refinancing loans as mortgage rates have dropped. The Mortgage Bankers Association says rates on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages fell below 5%. Brewer Molson Coors says its third-quarter profit rose more than a third. It said today revenue fell, though, because people bought less beer, but they paid higher prices for it. Molson Coors says it raised the prices across major markets, but lowered prices in other markets to compete. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, November 4th, 2009, at marketplace.org. European regulators are reportedly raising objections to a major American merger. The deal between Oracle and Sun Microsystems has already been cleared in the United States. But as Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard reports from London, things are a bit less certain across the pond.
Europe's competition commissioner has been mulling over the $7.4 billion deal for months. Press reports here suggest a decision is imminent and it will be negative. The commission is apparently concerned that by taking over Sun, Oracle will acquire the open source database company MySkill. The regulator seems to fear that Oracle might be tempted to sideline MySkill and promote its own database software. The chances of the commissioner actually blocking the deal seem remote. The last time that happened with an American merger was in 2001, with General Electric's proposed purchase of Honeywell, and it caused an almighty transatlantic row. But the European Commission could block this deal. Oracle may be forced to make concessions if it wants the merger to go ahead. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
As unemployment goes up, so do the number of people having trouble paying off their debts. Now, the Federal Trade Commission's proposing new rules to crack down on unscrupulous companies, promising to negotiate a better deal for the debt-strapped, for a fee. That's the subject of a public forum at the agency today, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
About 2,000 firms sell debt relief services, and the FTC's Eileen Harrington says they rarely deliver on their promises.
If they charge you money up front with the promise that they're going to reduce your debt and reduce your payments, it's a scam. Don't fall for it.
The FTC is considering prohibiting companies from charging a fee until they actually deliver on their promise to reduce a customer's debts. David Luthold is with the Association of Settlement Companies. He says it usually takes 2 to 3 years to reach a deal with creditors.
To suggest that a company can sustain itself financially before settlements are made clearly would not be possible for a lot of companies.
But consumer advocates say prohibiting upfront payments to debt settlement companies is no different than a congressional ban on advance payments to credit doctors, promising to clean up bad credit reports. The proposed rules become final sometime next spring. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
One way to potentially slash carbon dioxide emissions is to capture them and store them underground. Well, this morning, the Center for American Progress releases a study on how China and the United States, the world's two biggest polluters, can cooperate on that. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
China and the U.S. still rely on coal for power, and both want to burn it without churning out tons of CO2. Julian Wong is with the Center for American Progress. He says many Chinese plants are near underground caves where emissions can be easily buried. He'd like to see the U.S. help China fund and build 5 carbon storage facilities there.
In total, these 5 projects would be equivalent essentially to taking off 1.7 to 2.5 million cars off the road.
He says what the U.S. learns would accelerate the building of similar facilities here, and the costs would be shared. After all, China is a rising economic power.
So it understands that in any sort of collaborative effort with the United States, that it has to put its own money down and put its own skin in the game.
He says the sooner the two countries start collaborating, the sooner they can cut emissions and create jobs. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
At some point in your life, you probably have said to yourself, I've got a great idea for this new product. And then you forgot about it because, well, how would you ever get it to market? Well, reporter Simone Orendine tells us about an invention website based in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Every good idea needs a home. Like a scratching post covered with sandpaper so your cat can file its own nails.
Here, kitty kitty. Ever try to clip your kitty's claws? It's impossible. Now your cat can trim her own claws with Emery Cat.
Emery Cat is on store shelves thanks to a PBS reality show called Everyday Edisons. The program tracks how ordinary folks turn ideas into useful products. The show got so many great ideas from would-be inventors, they started a website called Edison Nation just to collect those pitches. And the business community took notice. Now companies like Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, and PetSmart come to Edison Nation to find the next big thing.
We have a team of experts who interview the retailers.
Matt Spangard heads Edison Nation.
They then tell us what their needs are. We put together a live product search.
So, for example, Home Depot is looking for new tools that make painting faster and easier. Exactly what that means is left up to the inventor's imagination. Spangard says retailers like the system because they'd prefer to deal directly with Edison Nation's experts rather than with individual inventors.
They just put a little bag in here, so then like they just scoop it up.
Charlotte inventor and veterinarian Mike Tommen knows what it's like to go it alone. He spent $50,000 and 5 years of his life trying to sell companies on his invention, a portable pooper scooper.
So I'm trying, like I said, cram this down their throat, where Edison Nations has the idea hunts where their companies are coming and say, these are the products we want, we have an opening for it, so just fulfill the opening.
Now Tommen's invention, he calls it a Portascoop, is a finalist in a PetSmart search.
It's a streamlined process, and you don't have to fight with these retailers and these big companies as much to get your product on the shelf, so it's a very efficient process.
If Tommen's idea is accepted, Edison Nation will give him a $2,500 advance, and they'll take care of licensing the product. So what's in it for Edison Nation? It splits royalties 50-50 with the inventors. In Charlotte, I'm Simone Orendine for Marketplace.
When there's a really big rainstorm, there's a good chance a water treatment plant near you will overflow. That discharges untreated waste into a local river. Well, Congress set aside billions of dollars in this year's stimulus bill to help fix the perennial mess. But Marketplace's Steve Henn reports it's probably not enough.
Eric Gillespie from Recovery.com says Congress didn't pinch pennies when it came to money for water treatment systems.
There is $6 billion set aside.
Members of Congress might be expecting a thank you, but they're not going to get it at a hearing later today.
We have an estimated annual need of somewhere around $23 billion or $500 billion over 20 years.
Susan Brenega is at the National Association of Clean Water Agencies. She says the stimulus bill was a good first step, but the nation's sewer systems need their own trust fund.
We have trust funds for airports and for highways and for other things, and we all use water every single day.
Brenega wants to tax toilet paper and chemicals that end up in our water supply and use the cash to pay for the cleanup. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Finally, for some shoppers, the self-checkout lane isn't really convenient. It's downright stressful. Seems there's not a lot of room for error, and they don't want to look stupid and require help from an employee standing nearby. Parodies of this phenomenon have popped up all over the web.
Please scan item. Please wait for assistance. Please wait for assistance. Please wait for assistance.
Oh yeah, I've been there before. Researchers studied shoppers at a supermarket in North Carolina. They determined most were uncomfortable self-scanning when one person was standing in line behind them, almost like stage fright. Come to find out, customers were most comfortable checking themselves out when there's a crowd around or when they're all alone and no one's judging them or watching them. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.